Chapter 1, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I want to look at two verses primarily this morning found in this great chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And we're going to look at verse 17 through verse number 18. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17. The word of God states for us, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." Today I want to preach a message entitled, "The Power of God at the Cross." Would you pray with me, please? Father, I just thank you so much for your word that gives us great detail about the crucifixion of our Lord Jesus Christ and all that he went through and what it means to us even to this day. 2,000 years later, here we are still talking about the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. To us that are saved, it does display to us your power. To those that are not saved, to them it looks like a skeptical. It looks like something foolish. But oh, how I'd pray that whatever side of that equation we find ourselves on this morning, that we will have a deeper understanding of the power of God that is seen at the cross. It's in his name we pray. Amen. As Jesus rode on a colt into Jerusalem, the people had cried out, "Hosanna to the Son of David," meaning, "Lord, save now." But some in that crowd would later cry out, "Crucify him." And crucify him they did on an old rugged cross. Now, 2,000 years later, here we are still talking about the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. To us as Christians, the cross is more than just a symbol that we may wear around our neck. It is a symbol of Christianity. Our Savior, praise God, this morning is not on the cross. He rose again. And he is coming again. For these last few Sundays, we have seen the power of love at the cross. We have seen the power of peace at the cross. We have seen the power of forgiveness at the cross. And today, we see the power of God at the cross. In verse number 18 of this chapter, chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians, we see that where the Bible says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness." We see, first of all, this morning that God speaks through the cross. The Bible tells us here plainly that for the preaching of the cross. Have you ever said something like this? "I wish God would just speak to me. I wish, you know, I'm in a tight situation and I just wish God would audibly speak to me and guide me and show me what kind of decision I need to make." I'm sure from time to time you may have said something like that. But I say to you very unapologetically this morning that God has spoken. He has spoken one through creation. The Bible says in Psalm 19 and verse 1 that the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament showeth his handiwork. You can travel just in our country and you can see some great beauty, great creation that God definitely has created. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He has spoken through creation. He has spoken to us through his Son, Jesus. At the baptism of the Lord Jesus, God said from heaven, "Hear him." We find again in another text of Scripture that God has spoken by his Son. So he has spoken to us through creation. He has spoken to us through Jesus. He has spoken to us through the Bible. God's completed revelation to us, Genesis through Revelation, every book of the Bible, you can see some teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is in every book. It's a great, great Bible that God has given to us. He has spoken to us through His Word. The Bible says in John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word, the Bible says, was made flesh and dwelt among us. And so God has spoken to us in these ways, but He also speaks today through the cross. We find in verse number 22 that the Jews that Paul here is making reference to and the Greeks had different responses to the cross. Look at them. In verse number 22, the Bible says, "For the Jews require a sign." Again, I spoke earlier, don't you wish God would just speak to you audibly? Don't you wish sometimes God would just write the answer in the sky? If you could just see some kind of a sign. Well, the Jews often asked that of Jesus while He was on the earth. If you really are the Son of God, perform some miracle. That's even what they said when He was hanging on the cross. If you really are the Son of God, come down from the cross. But He would show them signs, and they just kept wanting more and more. We find that the Bible says in John 4 and verse number 48, where Jesus said unto him, "Except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe." In Luke's gospel, Jesus said it this way, "This is an evil generation. They seek a sign, and there shall be no sign given it." In Matthew's gospel, He said this, "An evil and an adulterous generation seeketh after a sign." So the Jews, they ignored the cross by seeking signs. If you could just show us some signs, we would believe. But the Greeks, a little different for them. They had ignored the cross by seeking wisdom. In fact, go with me, if you would, to verse number 19, where He says, "For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, but the Greeks seek after wisdom." So they, the Greeks, in Paul's day, in which he was writing this letter, he was writing about some people who were very sophisticated kind of people. They were very intellectual. The Bible was not talking down education, and I'm not talking down education either this morning. But these people thought that that they would ignore the cross because to them, this matter of the cross did not go their way in their own thoughts. You mean I would put my faith and trust in someone who literally was hung on a cross? This just did not make sense to them. They wanted just to say, you know, just give me Dr. Sounding Brass and Professor Tinkling Cymbal. Those are the kinds of people that I want around us. And they would just sit around and share their philosophies and their great words of wisdom and seek the likes of people like Socrates and so forth. Why? Because the Greeks seek after wisdom. Later in this passage, you will see that it says here in the context, in verse 24, that Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Before them literally was the great personification of wisdom, Jesus Himself. So the Jews ignored the cross by seeking signs. The Greeks ignored the cross by seeking wisdom. But Paul preached the cross. Look at verse 23. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. Paul was unashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He declared the gospel with courage and boldness. Why? Because Paul himself had come by way of the cross to Jesus. He preached Christ crucified. Say, well, didn't he believe in the resurrection? Yes, that's in chapter 15. For he says, if Christ had not risen, our faith is in vain. But it was also important to preach Christ crucified. To the Jews, though, as Paul preached Christ crucified, it was a stumbling block. We get our word scandalous from that word stumbling block. To them, it was scandalous to think that they would want a crucified Messiah. No, they did not want a crucified Messiah. They wanted a mighty Messiah who would defeat Rome. Jesus was not going to, at this time, set up his kingdom on the earth. That, by the way, is still yet future. But at that time, they thought that's why Christ came, born of a virgin. Here is our Messiah. Here is the one who's going to set up his rule and reign upon the earth now. So to talk about crucifixion, to see him hanging there, that was scandalous in their thinking. But then we find in the same verse, he says, to the Greeks, though, it's foolishness. We get our word moron from that word foolishness. And he's simply saying that to the Greeks, it was moronic to preach the cross. Doesn't make sense. It doesn't fit in our wise schedule of thinking. But nonetheless, we preach Christ. We preach Christ crucified. Because, he says in verse 24, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. So God still speaks today through the cross. But notice with me, if you would, God saves through the cross. Because verse 18, go back to the main text. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. Stay with me now. Here the Bible is saying, he uses the word perish. In essence, every one of us here this morning are perishing. The moment every one of us was born was the moment we began to die because of the sin process. That the wages of sin is death. So the moment I was born on August 25th, 1960, while it was a great day of rejoicing for my parents, at least I think it was, I don't know about for me, I might have came out crying, I don't know, but was the moment. I know we don't think this way too much. What was the moment I began to die? Why? Because the soul that sinneth, it shall die. So there was a time in my life when I was part of the crowd of the perishing. So the preaching of the cross to them that perish is foolishness. But unto us that are saved, that is, to those of us who know Jesus as our Savior and Lord, to those of us who have turned from our sin and have turned and believed on the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, to us, the cross is the power of God on display. Now consider this. In this passage of Scripture, we see that the Word of God says here to us that to those of us that are saved, it is the power of God. There is no other way to be saved, listen carefully, but by way of the cross. You can't have a crossless, if I can say it that way, salvation. You have to come by way of the cross to know Jesus as Savior. If there had been some other way to be saved, God would have taken it. If people could be saved by good works, by baptism, by keeping the Ten Commandments, then why did God allow his son to die on the cross? But there was no other way. This was the way that God had planned before the foundation of the world, that at the right time, God would send forth his son Jesus to be born of a virgin, yes, to walk upon this earth, yes, but ultimately to go to that cross. You remember in the Garden of Gethsemane, it was a great weight upon him because he knew that soon and very soon he would go to that cross and he would bear my sin and your sin and the sin of all the world upon him on that cross. He would experience total loneliness to the point where he even had to look up, my God, why have you forsaken me? Where are you now? My disciples have left me. Everybody has left me. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why? Because at that point, he was being the sin bearer for you and for me. He was the great substitute so that there could be a way of salvation for all of mankind. The Bible teaches us in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 22 that without the shedding of blood there is no remission. The Bible says in Romans 1 and verse number 16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. God saves to the cross to this day. We preach Christ crucified, buried, risen. That is the gospel truth. That's the gospel in a nutshell. And we find that God saves to the cross. I want you to think with me of at least three individuals in the Bible who came through the cross. One, he was a religious man. His name was Nicodemus. He came to Jesus by night. And Jesus said to him, Nicodemus, ye must be born again. Remember who he's saying this to. He is saying this to a very religious man. He wasn't some murderer. He wasn't some thief. He wasn't some drunkard. This was a man who was very religious, very devout in his practice of living. But yet Jesus said to him, Nicodemus, ye must be born again. Now think about this, you being an adult and God telling you, you must be born again. Think about hearing that for the very first time in your life. And you're probably thinking, just like Nicodemus, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? We may not say it that way, but that's what we might have been thinking. And that's exactly how Nicodemus was thinking. And Jesus says, no, except you be born of water and of the Spirit, ye cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Ye must be born again. And then in that passage, we get that great verse, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I've shared with you over the course of this last month that God loves you so much, more than we can comprehend, but he loves us so much that he gave his one and only begotten Son in your place. He died for you. Why? So that you could have a way of salvation. Nicodemus, it doesn't tell us in John chapter 3 that he believed then. I got an idea, possibly, that he did. The Bible doesn't give us much clarity of when, but I think you see evidence of it, because later he was there at the Jesus was taken down from the cross and did some assistance with Joseph of Arimathea to put Jesus into the tomb. Nicodemus had come by the way of the cross. Let me share with you another This man was named Saul at the time. Saul hated people like you and me back in his day. He hated Christians. Interesting, though, he was very learned in the law. I'm not talking about social law. I'm talking about the law of God. In fact, he tells about himself in Philippians chapter number 3 that he was very, very attentive to the things of the law. He says, it'd be hard for you to find any blame in my life for how I live by the law. But I hated those who claimed to be of the way. That would be people like you and me. Christians in that day were called people of the way. Paul hated those kind of people. He did what he could to get them persecuted, thrown in the jail, and on his way to Damascus. His life would be forever changed. Because that day, he had an encounter with the Lord. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Who art thou, Lord? And that day, Saul's life was forever changed. His name went from Saul to Paul. And he became a great preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ, wrote half of the New Testament scriptures. God used this man who, yes, at one time persecuted Christians, hated, even though he understood the Old Testament law, even though he tried to live by it, here was a man that needed the Lord Jesus Christ, and he had to come by way of the cross. There's another man that came by the way of the cross. He actually hung on a cross beside the Lord Jesus. If you recall, Jesus was hung between two thieves. One said, Lord, today, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said to him, today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. That man was able to take his last breath with that great promise. Today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. But he had come by way of the cross. He had come through the Lord Jesus Christ as he hung there on the cross. And even before he hung on the cross, he gave that great declaration, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. The thief on the cross, condemned to die on a cross for crimes he had done. He was guilty, everyone could see. But his destiny was changed when he looked at Christ and said, when your kingdom comes, remember me in paradise. And in paradise, that day he stood. Just like the Lord had said he would, surrounded by those who'd gone before. And one said, friend, how do you come? What are the deeds you have done? And with tears in his eyes, I can hear him reply, there are no merits to my name, no works that I can claim. He who brought me here told me to say, I have come by the way of the cross. I have come by the way of the cross. It is nothing I have done. It's the suffering of God's Son. I have come by the way of the cross. And you know, you can and you must come by way of the cross. God not only speaks through the cross today, he saves through the cross. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I read about some men who were in a barbershop one day, and they were arguing about whether or not Jesus turned the water into wine. One man who was saved out of a life of alcoholism was sitting there getting his hair cut. He listened to these men banter back and forth about this whole issue, and he finally said, you fellows arguing about whether Jesus can turn water into wine, you can come to my house and I'll show you where he turned whiskey into furniture. Hey, I'm telling you, when you come to Jesus by way of the cross, you too can have your life changed forever. Amen? You can have your life changed forever. Have you come by way of the cross? It is the power of God unto salvation. You can't have the gospel without the cross. Remember, I said at the beginning of the message that those that were there on that day when Jesus rode into the city of Jerusalem, Hosanna, Hosanna, there were some in that crowd who would later crucify him, crucify him. And today, 2,000 years removed from that time, here you are, sitting in the building of Calvary Baptist Church, hearing this message. Question I ask you, have you come by way of the cross? Have you personally put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ as the one who can forgive you of all of your sin? As the only one who can take you from where you are and take you to be with him forever? Do you know with great certainty that if you died right where you are right now, that you would be in heaven? Some of you can say yes, because there's been that great, great change that has taken place in your life. But if you can't say that with great certainty, then today, won't you come to Jesus? Won't you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? Because at the cross, you see the power of God, the one who has the power to save you, the one who has the power to forgive you, and the one who has the power to give you the best gift you will ever receive in life. And it's called the gift of eternal life. He has the power to extend his love toward you, the power to live in peace, and the power to forgive today. The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. Don't let it be foolishness to you. See it today as the only way, your only way to be saved and on your way to heaven. But for those of us that are saved, the Bible says it is the power of God. There is the power of God seen at the cross. At the cross, where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith that we came to Jesus. Every head bowed and every eye closed. In just a moment, I will have a word of prayer, but I would like to know this morning, do you know this Jesus who so willingly gave his life for you? Do you know with great certainty today that if you died, and you're going to someday just like I am, when you die that you would go to heaven? Would there be those here this morning that say, Pastor, with great certainty this morning, I know that if I died right now, I will be in heaven with the Lord forever. Not because I'm good. Not because I belong to this church or some other church. But I can give you a Bible reason why I know there's been a time in my life when my life has been forever changed. If you can say that as a testimony in your life this morning, would you lift your hand up right where you're at and say, yes, Pastor, that's me. That's me. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you. My friend, do you want to know? Do you want to know him as Lord and Savior of your life? He stands ready to save today. He desires to save you, but he won't come in like a bull in a china closet and plow his way into your life. He stands ready today to save you, but will you open your heart to him? There are those here today who say, Pastor, I don't know for sure if I die to go to heaven, but I'd like to know. I want to know Jesus as my Savior. Then right where you are, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, Won't you pray something like this? Dear God, I know that you love me. And I know that you want to save me. Jesus, thank you for the cross. Thank you for your blood that has paid the awful debt and has taken the horrible punishment that my sin deserves. Thank you for dying for me. I believe you are the Son of God. I believe that you died in my place. I believe that God raised you from the dead, and now with all of my heart, I receive you as my Lord and Savior. Forgive my sin. Come into my life. Cleanse me. Save me. Save me right now. Their heads bowed. Only God and I are looking. Would there be those here that say, Pastor, with all sincerity of heart, turning away from my sin and turning and trusting Jesus, I just ask him to come into my life and to save me. If that's you, would you lift your hand up right where you're at? Say, yes, Pastor. I just prayed that. And I just ask the Lord to save me right now. You lift your hand up, I'll acknowledge you, put it right back down. Anybody at all, while we wait. My friend, if you don't know for certain that Jesus is your Savior, in a moment we're going to have a time of what we call an invitation. We want to give you an opportunity to respond. It'll be a big step. I had to take it years ago. But walking the aisle doesn't say, but we want to help you. And when we begin to sing, I'm going to encourage you to step out. Say, Pastor, I want to know for sure that Jesus is my Savior. We'll have someone sit down with you and share with you the greatest knowledge in all the world of knowing Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. Won't you step out? Won't you get help today? Christian friend, this morning, as we've been looking at the cross this whole month, today you may need to come and say, Lord, I just want to dedicate myself to you afresh and anew. You gave your all for me. I want to give my all and live for you. Won't you come today and surrender all to him? Father, now we commit the balance of this invitation to you. Help people now to be obedient to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's